Can we give the Lord one more hand clap of praise? Powerful word, Brother Trini. You could be seated. I remember the first time Brother Trini ministered in this church, and it was evident then God's hand was upon him. But what God has done in the years since then and what God's going to do with this family is astounding. This is only the beginning. God's going to continue to increase. Powerful. Well, you're probably wondering why I'm up here. I am not Sister Kristen. I'm also not Brother Kristen. But I do have the honor and privilege of introducing my wife, Sister Hildebrand, as our next speaker. I am blown away, church, by the goodness of God in our lives and what he's doing in our family, but also in my wife as an individual, how he is using her. And in the 11 years we've been at this church, God has brought us a very long way, and he has been with us every step of the way. And I can say that our life today together in our marriage and in our family is not the way we pictured it before we came to this church. There are a lot of ideas and thoughts and hopes and dreams that we thought were going to be for us. But the moment we stepped in here, God began to do a work in both of us, yet unmarried, but on our way. And together, God has brought us closer together. And what he has done in my life, in our life, and in our family, I wouldn't trade for anything. I am glad to be in the will of the Lord, and I do not want to trade that for anything. And so I am excited to see this new phase, this new ministry, this new calling that the Lord has placed upon her, not only to lead in prayer, but to minister the word of the Lord. I am excited to see what God is going to do with her. And I have to say, as a husband, there is no jealousy. There is no worry that she might outshine me, outdo me. It's not about any of that. What I want is for her to be in the will of the Lord. And if God says she needs to minister the word of the Lord, who am I to hold her back and say, that's what God called me to first. You need to sit down. I will not do that. If the Lord wants her to minister and he wants me to just sing, well, we can switch, but whatever the Lord desires. So, Sister Hildebrand, why don't you come on up and deliver to us the word of the Lord.
Praise the Lord, church. I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord. Y'all may be seated. I'll be obedient to my bishop, and I'll skip all the honoring because the Lord knows. And I, if you could turn to 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11, I appreciate the kind words of my husband, trying to hold back the tears. 2 Kings 3, verse 11 says, "But Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here. Who poured water on the hands of Elijah." God, I'm asking you to have your way in this place. Give us understanding and let us have a humble heart to receive your word this morning. We give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of Jesus. Can we clap our hands unto the Lord? God is so good, and he feeds us well. Y'all may be seated. I asked the Lord the other morning, God, where do you want me to read? Just daily reading. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But he did say 2 Kings chapter 3, and so I just started reading, and I hit the scripture, and I couldn't get away from it. It was like I never saw it before, and I know I've read through this chapter before. In this scripture, the water is for washing purposes. And I looked up, what did this mean? What exactly is the scripture saying that Elisha did unto Elijah? This was a service performed particularly after meals. In the Middle East, it was not custom to use forks and knives, but fingers. And the servant would afterward pour water over the hands of his master for washing. When the Lord, we know the story, when he called Elisha, when he told Elijah, you're going to anoint Elisha in your place. And the prophetess ministered some on that passage. And when he followed him, it did say, and you don't have to go there, but in 1 Kings 19, verse 21, at the end it said, then he arose, talking about Elisha, and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. That word ministered means to attend as a menial or worshiper. Menial is of work not requiring much skill and lacking prestige. He was a servant to Elijah. He waited on Elijah. That is part of the definition of the word ministered there. Elisha, it's so interesting to me that it was spoken of that Elisha, one of the servants of the king of Israel, said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here who poured water on the man, on the hands of Elijah. What an interesting thing to testify of Elisha, because we don't, I went back and read both occasions where it's mentioned both of them, Elisha and Elijah, and their relationship, and it was when he was anointed, and he, it said he ministered, and then the next time is when Elijah is going to depart. That's all we read of, and then here, it's testifying, and it's saying that he was known to be a servant to Elijah. And we read about Elisha and all of the things the Lord did through him. All of the miracles and the authority, he did mighty things through, and God surely answered his request. But something else we read of is he poured water on the hands of Elijah. What a dirty job. A true servant. After he's done eating, Elijah comes and pours water on his hands so the man of God doesn't have to deal with the food residue on his hands so that he can be ready for the next step. That's not of prestige. That's not a glorified position. And he did it with the best of his ability. He did it with his whole heart. Who would volunteer to serve like that? He left his family to pour water on the man of God's hands. He didn't complain and say, I left my life to pour water on your hands. Some of us,
what we're asked to do is beneath us. Don't you know I have a calling on my life and you want me to volunteer to serve in the nursery? No one's going to see me back there. You want me to assist Sister Moreno in ladies' ministry? Who's going to know that I do that? Ministry does not require much skill, and it lacks prestige. It is not about us, and it's not about what we want. Elisha didn't choose the mantle that was placed on him. God spoke to Elijah and said, he's going to be prophet in your stead, and he has no choice. And we can't get mad at the man of God when he asks us to do something that we don't feel is related with our calling or what we think is our calling. And if the man of God says no, it is no. And the Lord is watching our reaction. How can he trust Elisha with a double portion of Elijah's spirit if he can't serve the man of God in the dirtiest job that anyone could do? And we think we are above, but Jesus Christ himself said, I'm about to wash your feet and your feet and your feet. And Peter said, no, no. And he said, you will have no part if you don't let me wash you. Jesus, God in the flesh himself, humbled himself before his own disciples and made himself do the role of a minister unto them. When the Lord tells Elijah, it is in 2 Kings chapter 2, 1 through 15. When the Lord tells Elijah, he knows the Lord's going to take him. And so he tells Elisha. He doesn't tell him what's happening. He says, the Lord's told me to go to Bethel. And so they go there. And he says, stay here. The Lord has called me to Jericho. Make sure, Jericho. And he said, no, I'm going with you. I'm not staying here. I'm following you. I'm going with you. And then they go to Jericho, and then he says, stay here. The Lord's called me to the Jordan. And he says, I'm not staying here. I'm going with you. Elijah gave him permission. Stay here. Sometimes we have to go above what's required of us to get what the Lord has in store. It was God's will that he got a mantle of a double portion, but he would not have gotten it if he stayed in Bethel or if he stayed in Jericho and he said, I will cling unto you. I'm not going to be satisfied here. If you're going there, then I'm going with you. Elijah did not tell Elisha what was happening.
And when you read this story, the sons of the prophets go all tattletale, and they're like, don't you know that your master is going to be taken from you? And he says, yes, be quiet, I know. Elisha knew because his spirit clung to the man of God. And he didn't have to tell him anything. He felt in his spirit something. You're going to leave me. And there are times the man of God doesn't have to say anything. But if our spirit is clung, we'll know he needs intercession. If our spirit is clung, we'll know something's about to happen and I need to be ready. If our heart is clung and following it, submitted to the man of God, we will feel things that he feels. We will notice a heavy heart and we will go to prayer for him because our spirit is clung to him. And he doesn't have to tell us. But if we're submitted and we're clinging, we'll know. God will tell us. And some of us, Elisha knew. He trusted. I know you know the voice of God. And so if God said to go to Bethel, that's where we're going. Well, and now we're going to Jericho. Wait, I thought you said God said to go here. Why are we going somewhere else? Did God really tell you to go to Bethel? He didn't say that. He picked up his stuff and said, let's go. If God said to go back, we're going back. If he said to go here, we're going here. He didn't question the man of God. Because he knew you can hear from God. And I am a servant unto you. And as we serve the man of God, we are a servant in God's kingdom. And there are times where there may be instruction that doesn't sound good to us. There may be instruction that tastes bitter and we don't like it. But if we understand who he is, we know, God, I don't like the sound of this word. But I know who he is and I know he's looking after my soul. And so if you tell me something other than what I thought I was going to do, then I am submitted to your will and to the man of God. What does it look like for us to water his hands? We must do whatever has been asked of us to do by the Lord, by his voice, or by the direction of the bishop or the ministry that is operating under his authority. If we can't do A, we're not getting a mantle. If we're not willing to do something small that has no honor, how can God trust us with honor? We want what Elisha had, but we forget that what he had before the miracles was watering, pouring water on the man of God's hands. Good. It means doing something you don't want to do. It means if God wakes you up at night to pray, you do that. Because we may just be pouring that water on his hands so he can continue to do the work of God.
if God takes something away, we can't be mad at the man of God. We can't be mad at God. And we can have questions, and that is okay. But we've got to trust and cling and be willing to minister unto whatever need the man of God says, I need you here. And the Lord is watching. What's your reaction? Because I know what you want. I know you want to be a preacher. I know you want to go out and be an evangelist. I know you want to be a missionary. But if you're not willing to get up and intercede for the man of God, then I cannot trust you with a double portion of his spirit. There may be some the Lord calls to pastor that we didn't expect. God, I thought you wanted this. Are you willing to give that up? Are you willing to give up your dream to follow the will of God? I will say a prime example is the armor bearer. He asked for nothing when he came, and God appointed him to serve the man of God. I guarantee you, it's as much of an honor for him to carry the Bible of the bishop and to open a door for him to come into the house of God than it is an honor for him to step before the people and say, thus saith the Lord. And you look at what the armor bearer, the Lord has adding and adding. Bishop will list, and he's this, and he's this. That is an example to us. What we don't see behind closed doors, the armor bearer is pouring water on the man of God's hands, and he's ministering to the armor, to the bishop, and whatever he needs, nothing is too small. I know the armor bearer would do anything for the man of God. And we must take that as an example that if we want the miracles and we want the will of God, we've got to be willing to do the lowest job that God has with our whole heart. With all of us, without complaining, and we don't have to know all the time. We don't have to understand. It's not our kingdom. I don't understand why God took singing from me, and I don't get it. I don't know, but I will gladly lay whatever God wants me to lay down. If he truly gave it to me, then he can truly take it from me. I know what it's like to have something you thought was God's will taken from you. And I'm standing and I still don't understand, but I know I will serve God however he wants me to serve in his kingdom. And we lift our hands unto God. Lord, touch us, God. God, let us have a heart to serve you. Let us be willing to lay down our dreams to be of service to your kingdom and to the man of God. Let me not be angry or bitter, but help us, God, when we don't understand. Can we give God some glory?